But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. A thought for a message this morning comes to me. Your decision will determine your destiny. Your decision this morning will determine your eternal destiny. Brother Jeff, will you pray over the message this morning?
Amen. Heavenly Father, we're thankful. Amen, O God. Help us, Lord, to come to know Thee this morning. Lord, You know the need of the people here.
Thy holy name.
God, I know that You're able to come into this.
In the name of the Lord.
Amen, O yes. Praise God. We thank You, Lord. Amen.
Have Your will.
Yeah, Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. The verses of Scripture come to me this morning according to what the Scripture teaches. That a man, when he is tempted, he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Amen. That when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Amen. And we know according to what he was saying in the same chapter in the book of Romans, that we should not continue in sin. Amen. But we're to likewise reckon yourself to be dead unto sin and alive unto God. Amen. In Christ Jesus this morning. But for the sinner, the backslider, who is indulging in the sinful lifestyle of this day. Amen. I realize, church, as we look around, that sin is abounding more in our nation than it has, amen, and ever recorded any other time. We know as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. How shall it be in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? Amen. When the corrupt sin of that evil time in that city that God destroyed with fire and with brimstone. It was a sin of homosexuality. It was a sin of sodomy. It was a sin that was rapid in that time. Amen. What about our time? What about today in America when they are ordaining, amen, men behind the pulpit who have a homosexual lifestyle? Amen. The teachers in our school system teaching our children, the lesbians and the homosexuals, is the lifestyle. Amen. They have took prayer out of schools, and in many churches today, they don't reverence God like they should. They have no reverence, no respect for the house of God, and sin is rapid. And I come to know in the hour in which we live, amen, that the sin of many and the corrupt, evil society in which we live are driving men more and more to the depth of sin. But I'm glad to know today that I know one who come to free men from all sin. He didn't come to call the righteous, but he come to call sinners to repentance. He didn't come for the well, he came for the sick. Amen. The Scripture that Brother Jeff brought out in the Sunday school lesson this morning, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And John 3:16. It goes more than that. That God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. For he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not in the name of the Son of God. But I'm glad to know, for he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. But I'm glad to know I know the Son, Jesus Christ, and I'm glad to know I have the riches, amen, and the blessings of God upon my life, because my decision has determined within my heart to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. On the day that the Lord saved me in November 1979, that conviction gripped my heart. I went down to an altar. I prayed. I repented of my sin. I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And He's been my Savior ever since then. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Oh yes, the joy and the peace of God has been within my heart. Amen. I've been happy in my walk with God because I have real peace that passes all understanding. I have the joy of the Lord in my life. I know what it is to be troubled like you do. I know what it is to struggle in life over some pressures of life. But I know one I can turn to in the hour of need. I know one that I can look to in the time of my need and see my need to draw near and closer to God. He's there to reward me. He's there to bless me. He's there to uplift me. He's there to meet my need because I'm a child of God. And my decision that day was to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. When I come down to the crossroads of life, like some of you will come down one day to the crossroads of life, and you will have to see when the Spirit of God begins to work with you and draw you, amen, to an altar of repentance, that you're going to have to make a choice. Amen. Oh, yes, the Scripture teaches to choose life, not to choose death. Amen. For the wages of sin is death. But we're going to choose life this morning. Oh, yes, when we come down to the crossroads of life, we realize, amen, God began to deal with me when I was a young boy. Amen, praise God, about serving Him. God has dealt with you as children about serving the Lord, but you have rejected that, amen, that calling. You have neglected that in your life. Amen, that when God began to beckon you and woo you and draw you to an altar of repentance, you have turned aside to other things of life. You have turned to the depths of sin. Amen, realizing that you should have chose Jesus Christ. Amen. It's your choice. It's your decision. It will determine your destiny. Amen. But glory be to God. I say unto you today, if you look to the Lord your God for your help, you'll come to know what I know, what I'm preaching this morning. When you have real joy, when you have real peace, when you have real happiness. Brother Joel, money does not buy happiness. Money does not buy real joy. I work with people now. Amen. It's so unhappy. But they're filthy rich. I have people coming by my gate, passing through. Filthy rich people. Never have a smile, always murmuring, always complaining. Drive the nicest vehicles they can drive, live in the nicest homes. Amen. Those homes range between $4 and $5 and $10 and $12 million at the place where I work. Many of those homes have elevators in them. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Oh, yes. The gutter system, solid copper. Amen. Oh, yes. The walkways are solid rock. Amen. When I pulled down in patrol one day, I asked a man who was laying the rock on the driveway. He said, this driveway alone cost $130,000. But I'm telling you, saints of God, people have money. And these are vacation homes. Most of these homes are not permanent homes. They're vacation homes. Amen. But I'm telling you this. Some of the most miserable, unhappy people on earth. I have to deal with them, and they're complaining. They never seem to be happy. They never have nothing good to talk about. It's because they don't have the peace that I have. They don't have the love that I have in the heart. Amen. Did you know that I'm a poor rich man? I'm poor in this life, but I'm rich in God, and I'm glad to know I'm happy in my journey. Amen. Living the life that is pleasing to the Lord. Amen. The Scripture comes to me, for he that soweth to the wind shall reap the whirlwind. I growed up with a boy, which was my cousin. One of my cousins, when we was 5 and 6 years old, we played on the creek bank in the 60s. We growed up together in junior high school in the 70s. And during those years, amen, he come down to the crossroads of life. Amen. And we begin to stray away from one another. Amen. Because he chose to go one way and I chose to go the other. It's just like it was, amen, with Lot and Abraham. There was contention between their herdsmen. And therefore it come a time when Abraham had said to his nephew Lot, amen, you choose the way or choose the path that you shall go, and I'll go the other way. And therefore, amen, when Lot looked across the plains of Sodom, it was well watered. He had chose to go in the way of Sodom. And therefore, I believe Abraham went toward the way of Canaan. And therefore, we know that they had to, amen, amen, go their separate ways. That's the way it was for me and Bobby. When I was 16 years old, the Lord saved me. Amen. I chose the way of the church. I chose the way of Christ. Amen. He went in the opposite direction. But right before I got saved, I walked into a beer joint one night. Amen. There was some of the family members there. This is before I was saved. Amen. Oh, yes, and there was some of the relatives. Amen. Amen. And there was Bobby, amen, the one that I grew up with, and they were drinking, they were fussing, and they were fighting, amen, I was gambling over the pool table, and therefore I wanted to do what I could to get out of there just as quick as I could. The man who I know now who is saved today, at that time, mean as a rattlesnake, he looked me in the eyes, he said, we're going to play this game, and whoever wins this game is going to buy the other a beer. I said, we'll do that. I looked at my friend, I said, let's get out of here. We played the pool game. We paid for the alcohol, and we left that place. That's the first time I went in. That's the last time I went in. I never entered into another beer joint. Amen. I was never alcoholic, never tasted beer in my lifetime. Never have today. Amen. I've never been under the influence of alcohol. Never tasted it. Never been on drugs or anything like that. But I was going in that direction. Bobby was there too. But thanks be to God, when God began to deal with my heart when I was in that beer joint that night. Amen. Get out of here. You don't belong here. The same beer joint I was in. Amen. When the man come out the door just a little time later, there was a man in the parking lot, shot him right in the chest. As the bullet entered into it through his back, amen, he hit the pavement. He was dead. You know how it is in these kind of places of the world. Amen. My brother, he stayed in the beer joints. He played, amen, the steel guitar with the country, slurring country music. I was raised up with the old country music all my life. Many of my family members played, amen, instruments. And I was raised in that kind of lifestyle, and I was going in that direction. But thanks be to God, Brother Sonny, that day the Lord was dealing with me then to turn away from that lifestyle. But some of my family members remained in it. And my aunt had four sons that remained in that lifestyle. Amen. Could you imagine four sons that died? Amen. One died in a car wreck. One was stabbed to death. Amen. One was shot to death. Come on now. And one was beat to death. Amen. Lost four sons because of the sinful lifestyle, amen, that they engaged in each and every day. But when I come down to that crossroads, I chose life. Amen. Praise God. My cousin chose the other direction. The Bible teaches us the broad way that leads to destruction, and many go in thereat. But the straight and the narrow way leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it. But thanks be to God, I was one of those few. This same cousin by the name of Bobby, amen, he become an alcoholic. His father was in alcohol. His father, amen, was raised up on in the pool hall there on Ramcat Alley in Seneca. Many times I'd go down that street, and there was his dad on the inside drinking beer and playing pool. So Bobby went straight in there, and that's the way he went. Amen. Oh, yes, the father was sowing to the wind, but the son was going to reap the whirlwind. As days have passed and years passed, I come to know that through Bobby's alcoholism, they gave me a call. He was admitted to Oconee Hospital, and I went up there to see him. A young man, about 30 years old, had cirrhosis of the liver, swelled out here. He was over 50 inches round. He was a little man, but because of all that fluid, his skin was, the pigment of his skin was turning yellow. Amen, even in his eyes. And there he was on the bed. And I was trying to witness to him. The same boy that played on the creek bank. The same one I went to school with. Went to the beer joint together, but left that day and never returned. But he stayed. He remained. Here he come down with cirrhosis. Just a young man. So I worked with him and tried to help him. I was pastoring at that time. I went to visit him in the hospital. The chaplain had come by, gave him a Bible, prayed with him to be saved. I don't know if he was really saved. I don't know if he accepted Christ or not. But as time went by, Brother Jeff, they called me back to go to Greenville Hospital this time. Hey, man, he was growing worse. I went to the Greenville Hospital system, went down to see him. I walked into the room that day in the hospital, and there he was. They had him strapped to the bed. He was hallucinating. He was seeing things. His wife was on one side of the bed and I was on the other. When he looked at me, he wouldn't say a word. When he turned to her and looked at her, he'd cuss and rage and cuss her. Amen. Yes, he would. He turned and looked at me and he remained silent. He turned and looked at her and he just cursed. And amen, he was just screaming and carrying on in such a way that closed the curtains around him. They tried to tie him down to the bed. Amen, amen. He was just in a turmoil. His wife tried to do her best to calm him down. She said, Bobby, you need to calm down. You're in the hospital. He looked over her, Brother Joel, I was standing on the other side of the bed. And he said these words. He said, I'm in hell is where I am. He said, Satan's standing right over there. And I want you to tell him to come here. I want to talk to him. Amen. At that moment, I felt the very demonic forces of hell in that room. Amen. All I could do was kneel down by the bedside. Amen. I began to say, oh my God, here he is. Amen. My cousin, a dear friend of the family. Amen. One I growed up with, about the same age. Amen. Here he is in trouble. He's dying with cirrhosis. He's seeing demons. He's pulling at the covers. He's cursing his wife. God, I say that you'll free these very demonic forces of hell. I know what it is in the ministry. I've dealt with demon-possessed people. That's right. I prayed with them. Amen. Do all we could do to cast out those demon spirits. Did you know you can come to church on Sunday and sit next to a person that's demon-possessed and not even realize who you're sitting beside? Did you know that any addiction that a person has, amen, if it controls them more than they can control it, you know what I'm saying? It's controlling their lifestyle, their influence, and they're addicted, amen, whether it's by, amen, drugs or alcohol or any kind of sexual immorality. It does not matter what sin that it is. It's controlling them. It's an addiction. Amen, they can't control it because it's controlling them. Amen, I'm tired of seeing my loved ones die in addiction. I'm tired of seeing the devil destroying your family and my family. I've been in the ministry now for many years, and I'm seeing it. I hate it. I don't want to see it no more. There's people here this morning that's lost. Amen. You have addictions. You have problems. You're influenced by spirits that's destroying your life. And I hate it. It's demonic. Amen. That rock and roll addiction. That country music addiction. Come on now. Amen. That immortal, amen, lifestyle that's leading so many people to corruptness and evil and wickedness in our nation. Amen. I got a dear friend. Amen. I went to school with and I tried to talk to him about his cigarettes. He said, I'll die this way. In between his fingers are yellow. His fingertips are yellow. He's smoking one after another. He's already developed some kind of lung condition. And I can talk to him any kind of way I want to because we was like that growing up, went to school together. I can fuss with him. I can talk to him. I can fight him because we're close friends. You know what I'm saying about when you're real good buddies? If he starts popping off to me, I can pop off a little bit to him because we was that close. If he wants to fight, I'll fight him. You know what I'm saying? But we're really wrestling. We're really having a good time because we was close, close buddies. And when I want to tell him something, I said, it'll kill you. You know what I'm saying? They're drowning in despair, sin, and not realizing what they're doing. His mama's already dead. His daddy's already passed away. He's living by himself, has been for many years. He's not even married. 47 years old, still not married, still with those addictions, still smoking, and still carrying on just like he always has. I run into him the other day. He's still the same. Still the same old boy, but never made no change. It's the same way with Bobby. When I knelt down in that bed, I prayed. I said, God, something's got to happen. So I left on that day. Amen. Over the next night or two, his sister stayed over that night. And about 2:00 in the morning, she opened her Bible and she read the word out loud. And when she began to read the word of God, he come out of that coma. He had went into a coma. A few days before, he come out of that coma. And he looked around. He knew everybody. He said, where's Colas? They called me. I went back down to the hospital. Me and my wife by the bedside, holding his hand, praying with him, tears running down his cheeks. He said, "Colas, like, pray with me." We prayed with him. We tried to help him, Brother Jeff. Amen. But I knew that grip of sin. Amen. I knew the family members. I knew the ones he lived with. I knew what they were involved in. Amen. But Bobby, is he going down this time? For a year and a half, he was in and out of the hospital. Me and Brother Keith Speed went over to pray with him one day. We tried to help him. We tried to do what we could to lead him to Jesus Christ. Brother Jeff, the doctor walked in after 55 days being in the hospital. Tears running down his eyes. He looked at Bobby and he said, "I never thought I could tell you today that you're able to go home." That's right. He walked out of that hospital. Amen. That stomach's still way out here. All he could do, walk. His wife had already come up to say, "Colas, when he passes, will you preach the funeral?" I said, "I'll do what I can to help." But they still wanted to hold on to a little bit of hope. So he went back home. Weeks passed by. Months passed by. He went back in the Greenville Hospital. They give me another call. I went back down there. But this time it was coming to an end. I walked into the room that day. He done went back into a coma. They had all the machines hooked up to him. The doctor walked in, stood where I was. He looked to the family. He said, "No hope this time." All of his organs are shutting down. They took the machine off of him. He was panting for breath. I mean, he was just hard labor breathing. He said what he's going to do, his heart is going to get weaker and weaker. He's going to die. All of his organs quit functioning. And he died. Just a few days later, they didn't call me. I don't know why they didn't call me. Amen. I didn't know right at today he died. Amen. But when I went to the funeral home, I said, "Oh God." Had him put in a leather Harley Davidson jacket with a cigarette pack in his pocket. I said, "God, no." Wasn't too long ago, I went to that same cemetery. There's Bobby's grave. He died at 33 years old. There's his daddy's grave. When it sowed to the wind, he reaped the whirlwind through his son because he followed in dad's footprints. Look there, Bobby Sr., Bobby Jr., dead. I walk on over. Here's the one that was shot to death, 36 years old. Shot, blowed his head and his chest completely off. Far as I know, never did find who killed him. I have two cousins that was murdered, never did find the murderer. That's right. One was shot in the back of the head, come through his back, driving down the road, never found his murderer. And this one here's head, when he walked across the van, when he come around the other side, there was somebody waiting with a shotgun, blowed his head slap off. Killed him instantly. Here I am walking in that cemetery, I said, you know, 1, 2, 3. I said, "Oh God." I took my camera out and I took pictures of those graves. And I thought, amen, got the birth date, the day of death. For the wages of sin is death. He that soweth to the wind shall reap the whirlwind. Joe, I tried to do what I could to help him. He was close to me at one time. We grew up together. When I went to the hospital, I carried a little black and white photo of 1968. Me and him standing on that old wooden bridge with our little trucks, with our little overhauls on. Amen. As we played by the riverbank, I took it and showed it to Bobby while he was in the hospital, while he was to himself. Amen. He cherished that picture. But now when I went to the grave, when I went to the funeral home, why did it have to end this way? Why did it have to go this way? Oh, God, why is men dying? We're dying people. But people, amen, cannot realize, even people that attend this church from time to time, men that are lost, they enter to those doors, but have no certainty that they're going to enter out. You know the saying, you may tie your shoestrings in the morning, but the undertaker may untie them before night. Brother Joel, you know all about that. You ever get used to death, Brother Joel? You've been in funeral directing for many years, 31 years. There's no telling how many numbers of funerals you have been in. You never get used to it. Brother Sonny, I'm a minister. God has called me to preach funerals. I approve. Preach many. Young people and old people alike. Little babies. Infants. 2 and 3 years old. I preach the funerals. I never get used to death. Why? Because the Bible teaches us death is an enemy. I walked up to a cousin who attended my church who was dying. In her 30s. I walked in that hospital. She was pulling at the covers. I mean, she was struggling with death. I knew death was all over her. And I was watching her pull. Oh, her eyes was closed, but she was pulling. Struggling with death. She was about to depart from this life. All I could do was pray. About 10 minutes when I walked out the door, amen, they called me and said, she's gone. She's out. And the list goes on and on. In this congregation this morning, somebody is going to die next. It could be me. It could be you. But there's one certainty about myself. Is this. I've made it right with God. I still walk before Him and try to examine myself every day. I say to the Lord, I got to make it. Sometimes I struggle in my failures just like many people do. I have troubles and trials. We're living in a stressful hour. We're living in the last days. People are so sinful. And the Bible teaches me the Spirit of the Lord shall not always strive with man. And my God, what can we do to help and lead people to Christ? I could preach here until the sun goes down and tell you one story after another about people who have died in my ministry and what I've had to deal with. And it just goes on and on, Sister Ruth. There seems like to be no end to it. For the wages of sin. Is death. Kenneth, Brother Lanier, he's been struggling with death. But there's one thing about Brother Kenneth. We went over there about, 4 or 5 weeks ago or so, and we prayed with him. He's done made it right with God. He's made all the preparations. He's ready to go. He's packed up. He's ready to go. If God chooses him to live, he'll live. If not, he's going to be with him. We've done accepted that. we've done accepted it. Of course, we'll miss him, but he's going to be in the presence of God. How do you stand this morning with your Maker? How do you stand with God? If your heart quits beating today, where will you be? Where will you be? The rich man, when he died, he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. You know the scripture in Luke 16? Lazarus, if you only go and take your finger and dip it in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Don't let that be you. See, Bobby didn't leave no testimony. He didn't leave no way for me to know if he was right with God. For a long time, I worked with him, but did not have that assurance, and still don't have it today. What about your children? What about your grandchildren that are dying?
Praise the Lord.
They're addicted. On the way to hell, and what can we do to stop that? The prayers of the church, the prayers of the saints, the ones that are, amen, intervening in prayer, the ones who are stepping in the gap, amen, the ones that are concerned. People can scorn, amen, they can laugh, they can mock, they can do all that they want to do. But there's one thing for sure, it's appointed to the man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. It's going to be you, it's going to be me. And when you stand before Almighty God, which may be today, can you give me a certainty that you're going to be here this time tomorrow? Can you do that? Can anybody in this house raise your hand and tell me at this time tomorrow you're going to be alive, walking and talking and breathing? Can anybody give me that assurance? Can anybody here in the house? Me, no hand can give me that assurance? Of course not. Your life is in the hands of God. And when it comes your time to leave this world, and when you're facing death, amen, oh yes, and you don't know. That's one way we don't know. We don't know how we're going to die. It may be a lengthy death. It may be a sudden death. It may be much suffering. It may be very little pain. I'm soon coming to a close. I work with a man for a long time on the job. He was an electrician. He come up to my workplace one day. I was working in a warehouse. This is back several years ago. He had the tools on his side, and he come to do some repair on some of the wiring. He was a heavy smoker. And the doctor had told him he needed to quit smoking a long time ago, but he kept smoking. Him up here and he'd work a little bit, and all he could do is get his breath. I mean, the veins in the side of his neck just puffed out. I mean, it was all he could do to breathe. He wanted to still work. He wanted to retire. He wanted to do what he could. He made good money. He had good benefits. But he just walked, just a little man. And he'd do a little bit of power, and he'd get down on his knees. I've seen him down. He couldn't get his breath.
Bless him, Lord.
So he had to quit the job. And his son also worked up there at the plant. He was a good boy. He was also an electrician. They worked together. Well, this man, he had to take an early retirement because his condition was worse. Not living too far from me, probably 3 or 4 miles, One day, sitting in his living room, he looked over to his wife. He said, I can't take it no more. Well, her sitting in his presence, he took a revolver, stuck it to his head, and pulled the trigger, and went out into eternity. He said, I can't breathe. I can't stand it. I can't get my breath. And he died on that sofa as he pulled the trigger. His son come up just a week or two later up where I worked. And I looked at him, I said, Tim, I'm sorry about your dad. He looked at me, he said, well, I believe he's in a better place. I said, my God, where are people coming from? Suicidal rate is climbing. The times of recession, people are losing their home, they're taking their life. That's their means of living. The oil that's coming to the coast has stopped many people's way of income because of this tragic thing that's happened in the ocean. You know, killed much sea life, stopped all their income. And what is people going to do? Brother Joe, is this all fulfillment of Scripture that things are going to wax worse and worse in the last day? We need the church. We need the Lord. We need Jesus Christ. We need Him to help us. When you have nowhere else to turn, where do you turn? You turn to the rock. What is that rock? That rock is Christ Jesus. What are the means of help? By the way of the Spirit. What is the way of death? Just like you are. You're going to die in your sins. If you want to die in your sins, you go ahead. But I'm going to be walking. And I'm going to be talking with Jesus. I'm going to strive for the Jeff to enter in. I'm going to do what I can to make heaven my home.
Glory to God.
Because I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And there's nothing in this life can compare to the touch of God. I don't know why I'm lingering like this morning. Back 2 or 3 months ago, that 26-year-old boy that my oldest son growed up with died instantly of a heart attack at 26 years old. Went into a cardiac arrest. His wife tried to perform CPR. He was gone. The paramedics came out, tried to work with him. He was already gone. But they sent him on to the hospital, trying to work with him while he was on the way, tried to work with him in the emergency room. Finally, they got a heartbeat. Just long enough for him to come to himself for so many seconds. Held on to that hope when I preached that funeral. He couldn't talk. He was hooked up to these machines. Whatever they was doing to try to revive him. 26 years old. They didn't let me know he's in the hospital. I didn't know anything about it. Until I got the call on a Saturday evening. Just a few months ago. Donnie is dead.
Praise the Lord.
I preached a funeral, and that's just the way it is. Let us stand. Choose life. and I will give thee eternal life. He that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But you must repent of your sin. Turn to me with an open heart and with an open mind. Then I will receive you. I have come for you, and I love you, and I'm here to help thee. Look unto me this day, saith the Lord, and I will save you and give you the eternal peace and happiness that you long to have, saith the Lord. Let us stand all over this house this morning. For the Lord has spoken. Let me say unto you, sinner friend, backslider, if you're here this morning, will you please come? Will you please come? While I wait just a few moments, will you please come? Amen. Jesus is calling. Amen. This is your opportunity. This is your time. This is the time now for you to accept Christ.
Yes,
I say, if the Spirit of the Lord is beckoning you, calling you to this altar, you need to be here. Amen. You need to come. You need to come forth. Don't die in your sin. Serve Jesus Christ. Look to Him today. He is able to help you and save you and give you what you desire.
Jesus, hallelujah.
For he that soweth,
glory to God,
to the wind shall reap,
hallelujah,
the whirlwind. God is not mocked, for what a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the wind shall reap the whirlwind.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You're standing before me today. You're looking upon me. But one day you're going to stand before God. I'm just a man, but He is God. I can preach to you. I can invite you to an altar. Amen. But one day, I say it could be today, your breath is going to leave your body and you're going to appear before God and you will be judged.
Hallelujah.
On that great day of the great white throne judgment.
My God.
For the sinner. And they will be judged according to their sin. Even for the judgment seat of Christ for the believers, that we'll be judged according to the deeds that we have done in this body, whether good or bad. God, help us today to know where we stand with God. I'm lingering this morning because somebody needs to pray. Somebody's at the crossroads. Amen. You're going to choose life or you're going to choose death? There's no in between. I say, you're going to choose life? You're going to choose Christ? Are you going to choose death? The way of hell? The way of the devil? The way of your sin? What shall you choose?
Hallelujah.
Your decision will determine your destiny. That choice that God has given us as free moral agents to choose right or wrong. That conscience that is within us knows right and wrong. Amen. That's given of God. You know what you're doing. Your sins are going to find you out. And you're going to die lost without God if you're not careful.
There is,
please come. Will you please come this morning?
Saying hand to me that guides me.
Young people, come on.
Praise the Lord.
choose life. Your decision will determine your destiny. Come on. Praise God. Come on. How about you, sinner friend? Come on, will you please come? Why die lost? Why continue to sin against God, trespass against His laws? Why do that? Amen. The very one that holds you in the palm of His hands, one day, amen, you're going to leave this world. Where are you going to be with God? Are you going to be eternally separated from Him forever and forever? How do you stand? I won't have always the opportunity to preach like I'm preaching this morning. That's why I'm preaching this way. But only one day I'm going to be gone.
Baby. Hallelujah.
I'm going to get every count by preaching this gospel. There's somebody here that needs it.
Oh, glory.
Somebody here that needs Jesus.
Me at Jesus.
Come on, will you come? The Spirit is calling. You need to be in this altar. Don't let Satan lie to you. I say, don't let the liar deceive you. Amen. Satan is a liar, and he's the father of it. And you're going to spend eternity in hell, the place of torment, the place of everlasting fire and torment.
Just look for me in heaven, and we'll talk
this. There's someone else that needs to be in this altar. I say there's someone needs to be here, calling out to God, repenting of your sin, accepting Christ.
Let me tell you where I'll be.
Oh, dear Jesus, this morning.
I'll be thanking Christ,
hallelujah,
my Savior. Our Savior.
Come on, Satan.
Oh, yes. Hey, you stand with God this morning. Lord, help us to know. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Blessings of God are upon us. The Spirit is in you. God, we need your touch. We need your help this morning.
Don't look on the streets of gold. Don't look by the walls of jasper.
Oh, yes.
Are among